if you can't laugh in church, then you got issues, okay? But anyhow, if the boys in the back can turn on my praying music, that would be wonderful. God, right now in Jesus' name, I speak healing all over this place. God, for every person, Lord, that's out sick this morning, God, I thank you that by your stripes we are healed. So, Lord, I ask for a complete healing for folks right now, spirit, soul, and body. God, I thank you for what you're going to plant inside of the hearts of your children this morning. God, right now I speak to addiction in this place, and I tell those chains to be broken off of your children. And God, I ask you right now that they leave here changed this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited to be here in God's house this morning. And God is still God. God is still working miracles. He is still healing people. He is still providing for people. And so we serve an awesome God, and I hope that your Thanksgiving was good. And you know, more now than ever, I understand things that I used to not understand. And what I had a very big sense of this holiday season is that, you know, sometimes holidays are difficult for people. They're hard. Maybe you've had a loss, and every time that there's a holiday, you hurt in a certain way. And so, you know, I'm going to just believe, God, that for every person that's here, that you have a good Christmas, because Christ came and that we would have our life and have it in abundance. And I was thinking about Christmas the other day, and I was thinking, you know, when God sent his son, he sent his very best. He sent his best. And so in prayer, I began to ask God last night, you know, Lord, what would you like to say to your children tomorrow? And he said, Kelly, you tell them that I want their best. I want their best. I want their best. Their absolute best. If this message is offensive to you, I'm going to tell you two things, and I want you to remember them. Number one, get over it. Number two, whenever you get offended by something, the problem with offenses is there's a little strand of truth, and that's what caused the offense. So if the word is offensive to you this morning, that's your indication that you need growth, and God wants your best. Not only does God want your best, but God wants my best. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the people in the congregation is good for the pastor, and it applies to all of us, and God wants our best. And so I'm going to minister today on your best. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 3. And you know, there's qualities to giving God your best. There are characteristics that every believer needs to have their best for God. And in Proverbs chapter 16, and in verse 3, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Commit them to him. One of the qualities of someone that is giving God their best is that they've made a commitment to do so. Everything that we do is going to take a commitment. And most people, including Christians, are afraid to give a commitment. I'll say, you know, can you do such and such? Well, people are afraid to commit to giving God their best. Why? Because it's going to take a sacrifice. It's going to take a sacrifice to give God your best at times. It'll cost you sometimes emotionally, physically, financially, in every way. There are times where giving God your best is going to cost you. Make the sacrifice. Give God your best. And it says here, commit to the Lord whatever you do. See, the word is full of promises. And when we apply the promises to our lives, Sherry, that's when we see results. The word will always tell you, do this and this is going to happen. Guess what? Don't do this, and that's not going to happen. So it says here, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Not just some of the things that you plan on doing. Not just A, B, C, and D. No, all of them. Commit everything that you do. Commit it to God. Commit it to God. And He will establish your plans. In my Bible it says, and your plans will succeed. God does not have failure in your future, but many times that's what we buy. With our actions, with our attitudes, with our things that we refuse to do, even though we know that they're the right thing to do. You know, many times the right thing to do is going to be the hardest thing for you to do. And it's going to take a commitment for you to do it. A commitment. Nobody in here, if I said, who wants to be a failure, nobody would raise your hand. If I said, who wants to have success in your life, everybody would raise your hand. Okay, if I'm your pastor, and I believe that looking out here, I'm everybody's pastor in this room. I don't have a lot of guests today. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. You want success in your life? Commit everything that you do. Commit it to God. Commit it. Lord, I'm going to go to the job that you gave me today. Lord, I commit to you right now, every fiber of my being. God, you gave me that job. So, Lord, I'm not going to be a jerk and complain about the thing that you gave me. God, I'm going to suit up and I'm going to show up. And, Lord, I'm going to do that with a good attitude. Will you hit that every time? No. Should it be your goal? Yes. God is looking for believers to give Him their very best. And He doesn't feel bad about asking that of us. Why? Because when He sent His Son, He gave His very best. He did not keep back, Angel, the best thing that He had. That was His Son. He didn't hold it back. He gave it up. And who did He give it up for? A lot of ungrateful sinners. Now, if you don't like this type of preaching, that's probably because it just got real. If you want a bunch of sugar-coated mess, you go somewhere else. But right here in this pulpit, you're going to get the truth. Amen. If it hair lips every catfish in the Arkansas River, that's what's going to come out of here. The truth. Jill, because let me tell you something. God wants His best from His kids. He wants His best. He wants their best. A lot of people say, Pastor, I don't know why my life is so messed up. Well, when you give God your leftovers, that's going to not be good. I had a terrible nightmare the other day. And this is what it was. And it's crazy, the dreams that you can have. But I had a dream that I was in my sister Casey's classroom. And I was having a math test. I thought, this is a nightmare for sure. And I kept looking at her, and I kept saying in the dream, I do not know the answers. And since when did math questions have asterisks in them? That's what I kept asking her. And I was held up over the asterisks in that dream that I was having. But let me tell you something. Let's just get down to the basics. 2 + 2 is going to always equal 4. That I am sure of. And that's probably the only part of a math test that I could pass at 37 years old. But let me tell you something. Give God your best, and you're going to get His best. Give God your leftovers. You're not going to get His best, because whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. That's not what I said. That's what the Word of God says. So when we're wanting to chimp God on our time and all these other things, guess what? It's not going to go well for us. It won't go good. We have to give Him our best. Here's what I've learned about God. Whatever we commit to Him, God will sort it out. Whatever we commit to Him, He's going to sort it out. So if we commit to Him something, and it's not right, Sherry, the fact that we committed it to Him, He will work those things out. And he will put something different inside of us that makes us realize, no, don't do that. I appreciate, child, that you've committed this area to me. And so because you've committed it to me, I'm going to put some correction and some wisdom into your life. You're about to make this decision, but it's not good for you. If you will commit your ways and your plans to God, success is what you're going to have. When we don't include God in those major things, and even in the little things, that's when we have failure. The word says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things. It's the little compromises. It's the little sins. It's the little, oh, God will overlook it. Oh, this or oh, that. No, you need to get yourself right and get yourself real, because, see, nobody gets away with anything. That's what I've learned in life. Nobody does. I spent a long time saying, God, I don't have to forgive this person or do this or do that because you don't know what they did. Well, yeah, he does. And they ain't getting away with it, and we ain't getting away with it neither. Amen? Be committed to giving your best. Be committed to it. Many years ago, we had a set of deacons. And their name was J.D. and Nina. And I'm going to tell you something. Paris Christian Center would not be what it is if we did not have the deacons that we have. They're amazing. And I am beyond blessed, beyond proud. I would put them, Angel, up against anybody, any other church's deacons. I would put them up. This man has been in the heart hospital I don't know how many times, has called me what he thought on his deathbed many times, and said, Pastor, I ain't going to be able to make it. Pastor, I am going to be able to make it. I may be this or I may be that. You know what? People like Charlie and people that'll just do what they're supposed to do are very rare, because it's going to take everything that you got to be that kind of person. It's going to take everything you got to make that sacrifice. And guess what? God's still asking it of us. He called me a few weeks ago. He was in the heart hospital, and he had just got out, and he said, Pastor Kelly, I just got out of the heart hospital. I'm feeling a lot better, and I'm going to be there at church. Guess what? He's been doing that for over 35 years. Amen. That's exactly right. Now, this isn't a bashing, but here's what I know. I know that I have to teach the sheep from this pulpit. I have to teach people, or else they won't learn. And I'm going to have to stand before God one day and give an account. And God's going to say, Kelly, why didn't you preach on this? Why didn't you say this? See, blood is on my hands if I won't just tell it. So if it offends you, fine. But God's still asking you for your best. God is still asking me for my best. For the past month, God's been putting some things on my heart. Kelly, you're not being the best pastor, and here's why. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Be better. Do better. Step up. Step up. Be that woman of God. Preach about those hard things. See, God is asking you for your best, and he makes no apologies because he gave you his best. He did. He did. Let's go now to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 17, but I didn't finish my thought about J.D. and Nina. And I loved J.D. because Miss Nina was the craftiest person, and if you're going to be with somebody crafty, you're going to put up with a whole lot of stuff, and your house is probably going to be an absolute disaster because most crafty people are unorganized. And they have it everywhere. It's just all over their house. It's all up in the garage. It's everywhere. And if you walked in her house, that's exactly what you saw. Glue guns, this, all sorts of things going on. Let me tell you something. just the faithfulness of those two people. We were blessed to have them in our church for over 25 years. He was a Catholic deacon in our church, an interdenominational church, for 25 years. And we were blessed to have him. There are times where I sit and I say, God, and I'm weary, Angel, and I say, God, what's going to happen when Charlie ain't here? Who's going to step up? See, God wants to know, can he raise you up to be somebody or not? Can he raise you up? Can he say, look here, step up, level up. JD beat colon cancer. He had a lot of wrecks because Nina wanted to go to Hobby Lobby every time she turned around. The wrecks that seemed like were always in the same spot. That place in Ratcliffe where they need to put some type of something else there that people don't wreck, or Coxville or whatever you call that little town right there. It's not a good spot. And I remember when JD had his final stop and stay in the hospital. And nobody wanted to see JD go because we loved him very, very much. And Dad went up there to pray for him. And you know, I wondered to myself, Kayla, what do you pray when you're in a situation like that? Look here, you're never going to learn something unless somebody will step up and teach you. Now, I made the joke last week, if Brother Angelo ain't offended you and most of Logan County, then you haven't met him. And that's the truth. But let me tell you something. He's an awesome man of God. And he's taught me the best qualities that I have as a pastor, they came from him. And I asked him one day, I said, how do you pray in those difficult situations? I said, I want to know what you prayed when you prayed for JD. Because, see, I've had to pray for people on their deathbed. And that's a very uncomfortable situation because most of the time, Angel, I'm sitting there thinking, God, couldn't you get anybody better to do this? This poor person, they're stuck with me. Their last human on earth, and you give them me. And Dad said, well, Kelly, it was very simple. He said, I walked into that ICU room, and I laid my hands on him, and I committed him to God and God's perfect will. And he said, and I began to pray, God, in Jesus' name, I commit JD to you as his pastor. I commit him to you. And God, you're free to do whatever you want to with JD. It's going to take a commitment. It's going to take a commitment to be who you're supposed to be. And God wants a commitment. And he wants an everyday life from you. Not a Sunday, not a Wednesday. He wants you every day. He wants your life every day. And he's not going to apologize about it. He wants every part of you. Every day, every moment, he wants you. Does he want you when you've messed up? Yes, he does. Does he want you when you've had your most successful time in your life? Yes, he does. He wants you in every moment, and it's going to take a commitment. A commitment. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do it in his name. Whatever you do, whatever you do. Let's go now to verse 23 through 25. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. That's a real problem for most people. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. I can tell you and I can look you in the eye and I can say to you, half-hearted efforts with God are going to get you nowhere. Half-hearted efforts with God are going to get you nowhere. Why? Because God says in his word, whatever you do, do it with your whole heart. Do it with your whole heart. Why? Because, see, God gave his whole son, his whole heart. He gave everything that he had. And that, Michelle, is why he has the right to ask of us everything. Because he didn't leave anything out. And because he didn't, he's allowed to. He has the legal right to ask you for every part of your life. Every part of it. And so it says here, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. Ask as working for the Lord, not for men. There are times where the human part of me gets sick of people. Now, that's probably not a real good confession, but let me tell you something. Every pastor feels that way. Guess what? Warren's back there going, oh, my God. Do y'all get sick of people, too? Okay. Well, I'm no different. There are times, Sherry, where I have to get myself a better attitude, and I have to say, God, help me do this for you today. Because if I'm doing it for anybody, any human, I won't be able to do it. But God, help me to do it for you. So it says here, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Everything that you do, you're doing it for God. You may not think about it like that, but that is how it is. And he wants you at your best. He wants you doing your best. Why? So you can help other people. So you can bless someone else. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 31 through 33. And it says this right here, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. See, how many times have we already read whatever you do? Whatever you do. I think it's been in just nearly every verse that we've read. And that's because God is consistent and his word is consistent. And so this is about the third verse, Angel, where it's read, whatever you do. Whatever you do. Because we have a tendency, Sherry, to get in a routine and just to go through the motions and to do things, Tyler, that you ever get in your car and you're driving and you think, how did I even get there? Because I wasn't paying attention at all, and I just got to where I was going, and I don't even... We get like that in our life. And what we have to do is make our being and our activities intentional. Whatever you do, do it with intention. Do it with purpose. Do it for God. Don't just go through the motions of your life. Best explanation I can give you this is, we've probably all heard this story. There was a family, and they always had roast every Sunday morning. Every Sunday for lunch after church, they had roast. On the roast, the butts were always cut. Several generations down. One day, one of the kids says, Mom, why do we always cut the butts off of these roasts? Well, the angel, they didn't know. Because Grandma, from way back when, didn't have a big enough pot. So she always cut them. And all the generations did the same thing, not even knowing why. I'm asking you to give God your best, but I'm asking you to understand why you have to do that. There's a reason. Don't just go through your life unintentional, thinking, oh, I just hope everything works out. No, you're going to give it your best shot, and you're going to try real hard, and you're going to make sacrifices, and you're going to work the covenant of God and work out your own salvation, and then and only then are you going to get God's best. Then and only then are you going to have all the promises of God and all the favor and provision on your life. But see, the world is full of Christians, and they're just flying through life by the seat of their pants with no intention, no plan, no whatever. See, you best get that thing right in your life, because, see, it's not going to happen by accident. You're going to work at it, and it'll take you a lifetime. Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Why does it say that? Because when you really start working out your own salvation, what you're going to find is that that's an ugly job. Right? That's hard to do. And it's hard because most people want to work out Sally Sue's own salvation instead of their own. Everybody's looking at me like, what has she gotten on today? Truth. And lots of it. Truth. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. A part of giving God his best is making sure that you're not a stumbling block for someone else. Do it, and whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. The glory of God. So many people have walked through the Wednesday food distribution, have seen me in town, have all these things. And they'll try to give me the glory, and I just won't have it. Because look here, the glory is God's and God's alone. That's his. The food ministry was God's idea. Paris Christian Center was God's idea. Everything that we've done in the ministry, Michelle, has been intentional. And guess what? We have failed many, many times. But God has always raised us up because there was a commitment there that, Angel, not too many people have. Not too many families have the amount of commitment inside of their soul that my family had. Am I bragging on us? No. But what I'm trying to do is teach you. Your best life is going to come from a pure commitment. God is not asking you to be perfect, but he's asking you to have a goal and to walk towards it. Both of my kids were sick today. Did I feel like skipping church and calling him and say, get a message and do such and such? Absolutely. Carson goes, why are we going to church? We don't feel good. I said, because that's just what we do. Come hell, and I've had the hell. Come high water, and I've had the high water. That's what we're doing in this house. Because, see, I'm going to call on God one of these days, and I'm going to need him to move, Kayla. And when I call on him to move, he's going to have an obligation. Because, see here, I've done everything that I could do to stand. That's why God comes through for his kids. Because you've done it. You've stepped up when everybody else wanted to step back. See? There has to be that commitment that says, you know what, God, I'm going to do this no matter what. God, I'm going to give you my best. When I'm at my worst, I'm going to still give you my best. I've had a very difficult year. You know what? I didn't step down from pastoring. I stepped up, by golly. And you know what? Let me tell you something. It took every fiber, every ounce of every single thing, Angel, that I had left. And there were days where I thought I didn't have anything left to give. And I gave it to God anyways. And he backed me. Amen. And he backed me. And guess what? He'll back me again. And he'll keep doing it every freaking day. Yes, I just said freaking, and yes, I'm just on Facebook. If that offends y'all, I'm sorry. Adam's going, it just got real, real. Turn these fans on. I'm hot. That's that Italian Puerto Rican coming out. Guess what? God wants you at your best. He's not going to apologize about it. He wants your best. Because he's got his best for you. And he wants your best. Everybody just woke up. Besides Brother Charles. And guess what? He's the only one that has the free pass. Lord, add years to his life as he's taking a snooze in your house. Don't cause people to stumble. And it says this right here, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many. But the good of many. We used to go to church, and Dad would get that rear view mirror, and he'd look at me and my sister, and he would say, this is not just about us four, no more. Do it for the good of many. 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 So that they may be saved. So that they may be saved. He that winneth souls is wise. It's skill. I was out on the river the other day having the best world of Black Friday. I was on my phone out in the middle of nowhere. And he said, come here, I want to teach you how to fish for crappie. I tried that one time and I was uninterested. Why? Because there was too much skill and patience needed for that. If I can't see that bobber go down, I don't want to do it. Look here, that's how a lot of people act about soul winning. If it's going to take 1 ounce of any type of anything, I don't want to do it. No. No. Look here, make the sacrifice. You're not taking anything to heaven but souls. Go with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 15. And it says this, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. As one approved. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. As one approved. Could you stand before God today and be approved? Could you? Is this a scare tactic? No. This is a real tactic. You either could or you couldn't. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. As one approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Let me tell you something. On your best day, on your worst day, you need to be able to say, I can present myself to God as one approved, above reproach. God, have I been perfect? No. But God, I have walked towards you every day. God, I tried to obey what you told me to do. Do your best. Do your best. Do your best. Your absolute best. My dad, our childhood is full of stories. And I always thought, why is he telling us these stories? It's the same reason I can preach them today. Because, Angel, they're still relevant. and I probably won't tell this right, but he will correct me. And I need to tell it right, so I need the correction. So, Dad, just pay attention because I'll probably say this wrong. But I believe that he used to work at the U of A, correct? Did you?
Yeah. I helped build the engineering building there.
Boys in the sound booth. And I haven't told him I was going to do this, so turn this green microphone on because you know what? We need to draw out wisdom like we were drawing out water from a well out of the people that know what the heck they're doing. Okay? He's like, what do you want me to do?
I can tell you one
thing. So what did you do? You worked at the U of A.
I was a plumber and pipe fitter. 5-story engineering building, 1986. And it's off a little bit. It's off just a little bit.
The building.
The building, is.
Not him.
Yeah. No, me too a little bit. And I'll tell you, there's more Puerto Ricans in this room, by the way people are, than just you and me.
That's true.
What else do you want to hear about it?
How often did you go to church from driving from Fayetteville to
I
church?
I make the midweek service to this building every service.
Driving from Fayetteville?
Yeah.
Working all day?
Working all day long.
Did you get to go home and change?
No.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Am I trying to bully you today? No. But what I am trying to put up inside of you is the fact that this right here, when God comes and knocking at your door, he is coming for not your leftovers, not your tip, but he is coming for your best. You'll either do one of two things. You will give it to him or you won't. And when you don't, do not ask God why your life is messed up. Don't do that to God. Don't do that to him. Own it. If your life gets jacked up, Angel, look here. I came to a place in my life where it was jacked up. And I didn't blame it on God, and I didn't skip a bunch of church acting like I was offended at the pastor because of my own stupidity. I owned it. And I said, God, I was wrong. Help me to not do that again. Give God your best. Sometimes your best is humbling yourself and say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. Sometimes your best is calling somebody up and saying, I'm sorry. God wants our best. And he's never going to back down from that. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Could you stand before him approved? Everybody's wondering what kind of stuff. Look here. These type of messages are what make people do better, do their best. Am I trying to beat you up over the head? No, I love you. Is God trying to beat me up over the head? No. He loves us. How many of you, when you were raising your kids, or maybe you're raising them now, and you said, you can do better than that? Okay. Guess what? There's areas in our life, I kid you not, where God has been showing y'all, and he's been showing me, you can do better. You can do better. And if God has to send a little blonde-haired girl that says freaking on Facebook to pull it out of you, guess what? That's who he'll send. And he ain't going to apologize about that either. Why? Because God is not like all of the politicians that say something and then try to take it back. Oh, I'm sorry for saying that. I didn't really feel like that. No, that's what you meant. I love when they tried to get Donald Trump to go back on some things that he said. He said, no, I said those things, and I meant every word of it. Guess what? God says this stuff, and he means every word of it. And if you'll take it to heart, and you'll apply it to your life, and you'll plant it in your life, when you commit your ways to him, in the end, you're going to have success, and lots of it, lots of success. lots of success. Let's go now to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 9. And it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. I told God, Lord, I really don't want to preach this because it just offends the heck out of people. But guess what? The day I just won't preach it, the day God just don't need me. So we're going to preach it. And look here, when I preach it, I'm going to preach it hard, and I'm going to make sure that we get it. Honor. Honor. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Look here. Don't be a God robber. Don't be a God robber. Don't be a God robber. You're either going to honor God and trust God in the area of your finances, or you're not. The Word talks more about money than almost any other topic in the Bible. It's because people have trouble giving God what already belongs to Him. So I'm going to take the next 10 minutes and I'm going to talk about finances. And I'm going to do that because one of the number one areas that Christians suffer in is lack of intelligence in their finances. And because of that, they struggle and they do without. And see, God doesn't have you living a life where you're constantly doing without and you're scraping by and you're all this and you're all that. But look here, if you're going to rob God, that's what you're going to have. And if I was a bad pastor, Sherry, I would just say, no, God, I'm not going to talk about that because it'll make people uncomfortable. And I want to point out, if tithing offends you, it's because you're not tithing. If tithing offends you and talking about it, it's because you're not tithing. And no, I don't want all your money. That's another myth that people, oh, that church, it's every church. Oh, churches just want your money. No, you know what? God said in His Word to honor Him with it, to trust Him. I remember growing up, and people would think this was child abuse today, but we didn't have health insurance for a very long time because, Jill, they made a decision, and the decision was pay your tithes or have your kids' health insurance. Guess what they did? Guess where we were hardly ever at? The doctor's office. Why? Because, see, God put His hand of healing on us every time that we got sick. I remember being in the doctor twice when I was a kid. Once because I did this little number, and the other number I bashed in my teeth and gave myself a human infectious bite that my sister told everybody about on the bus. Don't sit by Kelly. She's got an infection, and it's an infectious bite, and she's an infatuated person. But guess what? God honored, He honored us because the fact that they would put Him first. Because they would put Him first in their finances. I would be a bad pastor if I didn't look at you in the eye and say, you know what? If you're robbing God, you need to stop. Amen. It's not an easy topic, but I want to tell you something, and I mean this in the most humblest possible way that I can say it. You don't pay your tithes. You pay your electric bill. But you know what you do with your tithe? You release it because it does not belong to you. And there is a difference. About 2 months ago, Carson said, I want to do a yard sale. I thought, ugh, I hate yard sales. I hate doing them. I hate messing with them. They're a lot of work, and I don't like to do it. Because I knew when he wanted to do a yard sale, what it would be with me doing the yard sale. But I'm trying to be supportive of all of my children's aspirations and inspirations and all of that, all the Asians. I'm trying to be supportive. So I said, okay. And a lot of people came, and the kid made like $110 or something. That's a lot of kid for an, that's a lot of money for an 11-year-old. And so then, at the end of the yard sale, I had a wonderful opportunity to plant wisdom into my child. So I went in the house, and I got him an envelope, and I said, what is 10% of $110? And guess what? I made him put 10% in the envelope. And he was talking to someone. Well, first of all, he got really hacked that I made him do it. Well, Mom, Jesus doesn't need my money. Why would he do that to me? I don't want, no. I said, look here. I'm not raising a God robber. You're going to pay your tithes because you're going to honor God, and you're going to learn how to do that at an early, early age. Because I want you to be something in your life, and you're not going to be something by thinking that you're going to chimp and scrimp on God. Then he had the audacity to want to have an attitude as the thing went by in church. And I looked over at him and I said, look, you're going to give this and you're going to give it cheerfully. Not begrudgingly, for God loves a cheerful giver. And you best get your attitude in line, son. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. And then here's a promise. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. See, why do people that don't tithe never have enough? Because see, this is how the kingdom works. If you will honor God, God will honor you, and you will always have enough to the point where it will overflow. To the point where it will overflow. Go with me now to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 9 and 10. You know, everything that we are, everything that we have, Brother Ernie, every worldly possession, our houses, our cars, our jobs, our shoes, our this, our that. Angel, everything that we have, if we will be honest to ourselves, God owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns everything that we have. He owns it all. He owns it all. You know, really, the food ministry did not start when I began to pastor 3.5 years ago. It started in our home growing up, because here's what would happen all the time. There would be a single mom, or there would be a person, and they wouldn't have enough. And Dad would go in our house, and he'd open up our cabinets in our 900-square-foot house, and he would say, Millie, get in here. So-and-so, they don't even have milk for their kids, and they're doing without. Now clean out this cabinet, and let's go make sure they have enough. That's when the food ministry started. It was a seed. It was a seed planted. At the time, Angel, that was our best. Look what God has made it into today. By one single act of obedience, by one single act of giving God our very, very best. I remember very difficult times in the ministry, Tyler, but look here. I remember so much victory and so much success. Commit your ways to God. Commit to God. And see, God will do the rest. But He wants your best. He wants your best. And He wants my best. I was out on the river on Black Friday. I kind of just scooted my chair so I didn't look like a crazy woman, because women tend to look more crazier than men do because we have so many different emotions by so many different things. And I just kind of sat in that chair, just pretended to fish for a little while, and I just began to cry. And I said, God, I really want to be the very best pastor that I can be for you. Help me to do it. God wants your best. Now, the amazing thing about God is that He already knows if He's getting your best or not. He knows it. So many people, they say, well, I'm doing the best I can. No. 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 Give it your all. Give it everything that you've got. Give it all to Him. Every failure that you've ever had, they belong to God. Every victory that you've ever had, it belongs to God. Every talent that we have, they belong to God. It amazes me the amount of people that just won't give God their talent. Look here, God wants our best. God wants our best. Our very best. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. What I see more than I see on people, I see the most is just people are weary a lot of times. They're weary and they're struggling. Don't become weary in doing good. Don't become weary in doing your best. But make no mistake, He wants your best, and He wants my best. Don't become weary in doing the right thing. Don't let yourself get tempted to give up. You've come too far to do that. Shake the weariness off, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and decide you're moving on from everything that's weighing you down. Give God your very best, and He's going to meet you in that place, and wherever you lack, He's going to make up for it. People always say, Pastor Kelly, I've just come to the end of myself. I always say, praise God. Praise God. God can actually do something now. Give Him your best. Give Him your all. He'll meet you right in that place. It'll be where you end and He can begin. God wants our very best. When the pandemic started, God was trying to get me to give Him my best. And I was unable to do that because at that time I was a young pastor. And I would look to see who was in church, who wasn't in church, what I may have said, what I may have done. And I said, God, I'll never preach outside. I'm not doing that. I did my best preaching outside, doing the thing that I said I would never do. Because it took something away from me. And it was this right here, the ability to see who was there and who wasn't. Every Sunday morning I say, Kelly, if five people are there, you're going to preach just like there were 5 million. Because look here, I want to be the very best pastor that I can be. If the word has been offensive to you this morning, what did I say? Two things. Get over it, and it probably has hit you right where it hurts. I've had a lot of reflection over the past month, and I've had God pinpoint some things out of my life. Kelly, you're not giving me your best, and I want your best. Guess what? I want to give him my best. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Many times your best is going to be being kind to people that have done you wrong, that have hurt you. The word still says, do good to all people. When you can do that, instead of giving them what you think that they deserve, you're on your way to giving God your best. Last week, I was checking the church's mail at the post office box. And there's always so much junk mail. They need to save all them trees they're killing with that stuff. And I had a envelope, and I thought, that's just junk mail. I get irritated just seeing junk mail. I'm like, ugh, this is just one more thing for me to do and have to sort through. I'm sick of junk mail. And I almost threw it in the trash. God said, no, open that envelope. And I opened it. And there was a check in there for $975. Now, that was from a mini grant that our state representative for the whole state of Arkansas took the time to write for Parish Christian Center. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know this state representative was even knew who we really were or what we did. And it says, we're giving you this grant because he thinks what you're doing is amazing. Now, to bring this full circle, a couple weeks before that, God said, Kelly, I want you to get another freezer for Parish Christian Center because I want to enlarge once again what you're able to do. Here's what I thought. I'm going to be honest with you because when I'm honest with y'all, Jill, I can teach you better than any other time when I'll just be honest. Amen? The first thing I said in my head to God was this right here. Lord, I don't want the church to have to spend $1,000 on another freezer right now. We're trying to get through holidays and this and that and do all this stuff and all this stuff. I don't want to do that. He said, Kelly, order the freezer. We ordered the freezer. Within 3 days of us ordering that freezer, God put 50 turkeys back there in the freezer for every family in this church. Gave them out. Got another load of turkeys. Gave a lot of them out. Look here. So many people will not give God their best because they think they're going to come up short when they do. You'll never outgive God, not in your life, not in your time, not in your talent, not in your finances, not in your church attendance, not in anything. But the moment that you think that you want to hold back from God, that's when you're going to get into error and failure. God wants our best. When I looked at that check, I was in shock. And God told me this, Kelly, whatever I order, I'm going to pay for it. Whatever I order, I'll pay for it. God wants to bless you and give you His very best, and that's going to require your best. You want God's best? Give Him your best in every area of your life. Don't grow weary in doing good. Look here. There's a proper time for every single thing. And if you'll hold on, you're going to receive what God has for you. It will take sacrifice. A lot of it. It'll take so many things, but it's worth it. It's worth it. This week I caught myself saying, God, help me to be better. Help me to do my best. If you're in here this morning and God's began to enlighten you on some areas where you can say, you know what, I want to do better in certain areas, I'm going to ask you to stand, because you know what, we need God's help to do better, to give Him our best. I'm going to ask you to stand. If it's not for you, good. Lord God, in Jesus' name, all over the place, this morning people are responding to your word. And God, right now I ask you to help us to give you our best. Lord, when it's not easy, I ask that you would help us. God, when we don't want to give you our best, God, I ask that you would encourage us to not go by our feelings, but to give it to you anyways. God, for every person in here that needs breakthrough and provision and favor, God, I ask right now that you would cause us to give you our best to have that success that we need in our life. God, and most importantly, Lord, we thank you for just how good that you've been to us. God, how faithful that you've been to us. And Lord, I thank you right now, God, that you bless each and every single one of us, that you keep us, God, that you give us peace. And Lord, I ask, God, just for an overabundance in Christmas joy this season, God. In Jesus' name, amen.